We'll take it. We got the Dow Jones and a whole bunch of other things up. And then also I want to tell you guys about my weather. I'm in Chicago, so I cut my grass Saturday afternoon. It was 86 out. You guys want to see my temperature today? Where'd I put it? I think I put it right here. Look at my temperature today. 36. Are you kidding me? Okay, so enough bitching about that. All right, so let's get over to why you guys are here. The whole goal in my channel today is to educate you guys and keep you abreast of the what's going on in the market, the news, and everything else. And I have a kind of some eye-opening stuff for you guys today. So without further ado, let's get over to something I want to talk about. And I've been using this for quite some time now, about 2, 3, 4 weeks. It's not a long time, but it's fantastic. Do you guys know about the AI stuff? So if you don't, I use Chat AI. It's really cool. So what I did, based on all the news that we have today, so let's get through the headlines, and I'm not going to read them like I usually do. That's pretty unprofessional. But you go down through here, and you see 10 stocks yielding 4.5%. Is that good? Well, who knows? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Stock market is ignoring a recession. Audacity, Biden administration audits 1%, treasury yields are up, and all kind of things about inflation and stuff like that. So got something to show you guys. Here's what I did today just to prep for this video. So I went in there and I said, we know inflation's running rampant. The Federal Reserve is doing everything they can to curtail that. So I said, you know, what investments would you suggest to the AI that I do to hedge against inflation? So what I did is I put in that information. What is a good investment against rising inflation? As an AI, blah, blah, blah. And it gives me all the legality things. And then it says, in times of rising inflation, it is important to consider investments that have historically outperformed inflation. Basically, against inflation, you know, raising its ugly head that we're seeing right now. What are the top investments that it had? Well, intriguing. Real estate. Okay, that's number one. We're going to talk about that. And we talk about that every day on the channel. Treasury inflation protected securities called TIPS. So there's a kind of like bonds that you could buy directly from the Treasury and get good yields on those. The next thing is stocks. Okay. And then it says commodities such as gold and silver and maybe Bitcoin, if that's in there, I don't know, but we're going to talk about that as well. And then other diversification. So basically in here, we got the four things I talk about: real estate, treasuries or bonds, stocks, and commodities. So there it is, folks. So let's break these down now to see what's the best for you guys. Now, I'm not telling you, if you're a homeowner, well, you already got that check marked off. Let's look at some other areas. Do you know what TIPS mean? How do you invest in those? But let's go over the average yields on some of these things. So I looked it up and I said, okay, what's the average appreciation rate for homes over the last 20 years? That's what we want to really pay attention to. We want to figure out a way to put our money to use for us. It doesn't give us any good. If you had all this money and it's sitting in a bank account like it's been the last 3, 4, 5 years, gaining 0.00000 in your returns, it's just sitting there doing nothing for you. How do we put it to work for you? So if you buy a house, the average returns since 1991 has been about 4.3%. If you take that and you take, okay, what's the average return since 2012 after the crash? Not really that much of a difference, 4.7%. But then if you look at the last few years, you're yielding out about 7%. Okay, so on average, you're going to look at about a 4 or 5% return when it comes to real estate. Well, let's slip over to the other equation. What are TIPS? Well, basically, TIPS are Treasury inflation protected bonds. Basically, that's what they are. You can buy them directly from the Treasury, and they usually average, and I plugged it in right here, the S&P, the iShares TIPS have a yield of about 5.2%. Not bad. We're seeing inflation right now. It ranges between 7-8% and maybe 3 or 4% on whatever the Fed's numbers are going to be. I'm still saying inflation right now is about 3%. If you actually equate out the correct housing numbers that the Federal Reserve uses, but we're seeing here TIPS on average have a 5.2% return. Then we go over to the stock market. What stock markets usually yield? Well, in the last 5 years, you've been yielding about 17%. If you go back further in duration of time, over 20 years, it's averaging about 9%. Over a 30-year time frame, it's averaged about 9%. So you can see here, all these investments are ranging about 5% to 9%, okay, in all these investment strategies. So the other thing is, I did this kind of as a joke, I guess, is how much does my, you know, we love our cars. So I just bought this really nice, fancy car. How much does it appreciate over time? Because this is money that a lot of people are spending, you know, in excess of $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 on, okay? Well, after 1 year, your car will probably be worth about 20% less in 1 year. After 5 years, it's about 60% less. So that's the car payment. How about a boat? Well, don't even think about buying a boat and having appreciation. Okay, so these are the things we want to talk about in today's video. So we want to talk about how real estate, you can use real estate as a tool to protect yourself against inflation. So I'm going to, let's bring in some people as they're coming. Hey, Eccentric, I haven't seen you on here in a while, buddy. Thanks for joining. I know it's the middle of the day and a lot of people are having a tough time getting here. So we usually have a small little audience here, not like, you know, 100 or 200 that we have on Wednesday evenings, but I greatly appreciate you coming on. Is it more difficult to get a mortgage these days or the same? It's the same. You know, what I do have is some intriguing information there is in credit cards. So I'll give you a personal story. And I'm not boasting, but I have almost an 800 credit score. I make a good amount of money and I really don't have much debt at all. I have a house payment and I think a small little car payment remaining. I applied for a credit card because I put all of my business expenses on one particular credit card. Well, I had one huge expense I had to pay. It was about $8,000 and it maxed out that credit card because my monthly bills here at the office are about $3,000-$4,000 a month. So nothing crazy. So I maxed out that credit card and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do like, you know, a lot of people that I talk to on a daily basis. I'm going to get another credit card, transfer the balance over here there because I wasn't expecting to keep a balance and I'll transfer my balance over it, have a 1 year, no interest costs and all that other stuff. I was just like, I'm just going to try it. I usually don't get a credit card that often. You know, I applied and I didn't really put in the amount I needed, but I needed like 10 grand. You know, it was just the balance transfer thing. I got approved for $3,000. That's it. So I'm just saying if I'm having a tough time getting a credit card and I don't even really need it, kind of didn't even want it. I'm just like, hey, I'll give this a try. I haven't gotten a credit card in a long time, had some good perks. And I only got approved for $3,000. I can't imagine how tight the standards are getting out there right now. So that's that part of that equation because I lived it, guys. So that's basically what's going on between there. So that's basically an analogy that I had that happened to me actually last week. So the credit crunch on the mainstream news is fake news. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the banking crisis, okay? So let me explain the banking crisis in just a little short-term, you know, endeavor here. Banks are required to hold reserve money. So they bought a whole bunch of treasuries, held that as reserves. So most banks didn't do a thing wrong. Now you're going to have a couple smaller banks that just take excessive risks. And you have those out in California and some other banks that took excessive risks on startups, cryptocurrency companies, and things like that. But that's what these companies do. So just because they did that didn't mean they're unsupervised, they're mismanaged, anything like that. It means that that's basically the niche that they serve. Okay. So their clientele was a big amount of those borrowers. One bank that just kind of failed was actually a bank that's on its board of directors sits a person called Barney Frank. Now, Barney Frank was the creator of the Dodd-Frank bill that was put in place in 2010 to basically help banks' solvencies, I guess is the best way to put it. Because at that time, we had banks after bank failing. So they came up with this thing saying, well, if the banks have more reserves, that should be, you know, better for them. Like you and me having more money in the bank, it helps us during those dire times. Well, that's what the banks did. But they, instead of investing like stocks and bonds and stuff like that you and I invest in, they bought treasuries because treasuries are 100% backed by the U.S. government. Okay. So that's what happens there. But during this time where the Federal Reserve keeps raising interest rates, it's actually making those bond values drop. Okay. So you usually buy a bond because you just want the yield. You just want the cash flow. Okay. And then after the duration of time you bought that bond for, it comes due. They give you all your money back and then you can reinvest it again. Okay. But the problem is if you need the money now. So let's say I bought a 10-year 10-year bond. And I hold it for 10 years and I get a good return for 10 years. I get a monthly check and everything is going good, but I lose my job and I need money now. I need money now to pay my bills. Well, if I have to trade in that treasury bill, I have to take a haircut, meaning I have to sell it for less than its matured value. And it might be, I'm probably selling it for less than I paid for it. So that means that investment is less valuable to me and less valuable if you look at it on my books. Well, that's what happened. So for some reason, I don't know why, somebody tweeted that they are going to go to the bank. This was Signature Bank or Sun Valley Bank in California. They tweeted and said, you know, I'm going to go to the bank. I think they're having problems and I'm going to go and take all my money out. Now, who in the world does that? Especially if you're a billionaire and you have all this investment money and whatever. So they run to the bank and take all their money out. Well, then all of a sudden somebody else got word of it. And then the tweets went global and they went systemic. And everybody and their mother is now lining up at that bank saying, I want my money back, because if this person's taking their money out and they know what they're doing, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just taking my money out of the banks. So now you're going to see a lot of smaller banks, people pulling their money out of those and putting it into the bigger banks like Chase and the other companies that we really didn't want to have basically four big banks controlling the whole world. So that's basically what has been happening. So, you know, calm down. Everything's good. The markets, but it's news. Okay. So there's nothing else in the news they can really talk about of good substance, I guess. So they have to talk about or make some things up. So that's what basically was in the news. But I kept saying to people, relax, people. There's not an issue here. If there was, I'd be the first one to come out and say, guys, pull your money out of the banks. But I'm not. If my house in California goes down in value, will I be able to refinance when mortgage rates go down? It depends on how much value you have. So if you have, that's a great question. So if you have an FHA loan, a VA loan, or a USDA loan, you can refinance, because in most cases, you don't even need another appraisal. Okay. They'll use the last value of when the house, you know, you bought the house or refinanced it last when they had the last appraisal. You can do what's called a streamlined refinance with those. However, if you have a conventional loan, you might be able to refinance. You might not be able to refinance. It depends on how much money you put down and how much the house's value has changed from that time to now. So in most cases, you can refinance up to 97% of the house's value in a refinance. So as long as you have 3% equity in your house, so let's say you put down 5% or 10% and your house lost a little bit of value, in most cases, you can still refinance. But that's a great question, because rates at the beginning of the year, the end of last year and the beginning of this year, were about 7%. You're going to see rates right now. Let's open up that board right here and see where rates are. Let me just go to this section here. We're going to go to Mortgage News Daily, go to see where rates are. And rates right now are averaging 6.61, and they're up 0.11 from the previous day. So let's say 6.5. So it's not uncommon for people who have bought or purchased properties last year, the latter part of last year, or right at the beginning of this year, you might have a rate in the sevens. It could even be in the eights. So if you're in the mid to high sevens, please reach out to us. We'd love to run the numbers for you to see if there's a refinance in the cards for you. What you want to do is make sure you do it as cheap as you can, because the more expensive that cost is to you, then the most likely it's not going to work out in your favor in the refinancing section. But Eccentric, thank you so much for joining today. I think still a lot of people are on spring break, but I've been trying to publicize this to let everybody know I am live and here to answer any questions that you do have. So let's get out without further ado, let's get over the economic calendar for the week to let you guys know if there's anything coming up that you might want to be concerned about in the stock market, bond market, or real estate market. So we go through that. And the first thing we want to see is news coming out tomorrow is building home permits. Well, an entry number that we want to start out the week with is because of inventory. So if you watch my video this morning, if you haven't, I'll put a link in it down below. There's a mathematical equation called the absorption rate. So it's a really key rate or mathematical figure to figure out in your area. So I don't care where you live in the country, you know. And unfortunately, Eccentrics, you're in California, so house values, depending on where you are out there, it's all over the map. But, you know, big parts of the country right now are not seeing prices dropping, and they're far from seeing a housing crash like a lot of people were predicting. But what we need right now is we need more inventory, because what we're going to see in many markets, it's a seller's market still, and the reason being is There's no homes available. So those people have a threshold. They have the, you know, they have you. They got you by the, if you know what I mean. So they own the house. You want to buy it. Well, you're going to have to pay the price that they want for you to pay for them to be, move out of the house. Like, for example, my home, I have a 2.5% interest rate. It's a pretty sizable house. But even if I were to sell the house and use the money and buy down, you know, try to buy another house, even if I downsize, my house payment's going to go up. So why would I downsize if, you know, to have a mortgage payment even go up? So that's other reasons behind, you know, what's going on with some of this stuff. But let's get over to the economic calendar. Like I was saying, we want to check out building permits because we want to see the inventory numbers, how they're looking. On Wednesday, we're going to see you have crude oil inventory. Why I paid close attention to that is I want to see, you know, we know housing, part of the inflation number is housing rents. Okay. We know that's kind of coupled over. Last June, between March and June, it turned. And we've been on a negative descent for the last 6 months in housing rents. Okay, so that's 1/3 of the inflation number that we're seeing, but the Federal Reserve is looking at delayed numbers. So once that number comes in, you're going to see inflation probably at about a 2.5% to 3% range. So that's one. Other things that affect the inflation numbers is energy. And the oil right here plays a huge part of that. So we follow the energy sector to see, do we have an excess amount of oil that's needed? You know, do we have excess or do we have a negative? Thus, then you're going to see oil prices starting to really take a skyrocket price up. Okay, so that's that part of it. And then what we want to see is on Thursday, there's not a lot of economic news. Remember last week, it was all inflation numbers. Now what we're seeing is initial jobless claims. We're expecting that to go up because we're on the brink of a recession, and that's what happens in a recession. So don't be surprised if the initial unemployment claims continue to go up. That means how many people lost their job. Manufacturing numbers are going to start to come down. We have a negative 23, negative 19, and then existing home sales. Okay, so again, I want to decipher on this. I want you guys to start dissecting words. This is existing home sales, not total home sales, not new home sales, existing people that already own a house that are selling those. So definitions and wording and all this really matters. So let's get over to any more questions that you guys have. So the next one we have is from Dennis. Will rates ever drop back down to 3%? I locked in at 4.75 in June on new construction. I hope I don't think it. I don't think so. And the reason being is I've never seen a 3% rate in my lifetime of doing this of 34 years now, other than the one time that we just went through. Why? What happened? Well, the whole world shut down. So that's this is probably a good entry point on where we should start talking is why, you know, the effects of things. Why did we have 3% rates? Why did we have 4% rates? Why now do we have 7% rates? Okay, so you need to know the whys behind this. Why are some people saying home prices are going to crash? Why are others saying, like myself, we'll have a correction in some areas and some areas aren't going to really see much of a difference? It's, you know, you have to go back in time to figure out what happened. Okay, so here's an analogy. Let's just take it this, and I'm going to do a story here. And I might bore some of you guys. I hope I don't lose you as an audience in the next 5 minutes. I'm just going to give you a story. And you guys kind of let me know what you think I'm talking about. Okay. So I'm going to pretend that I'm my twin brother. So I'm Dan's twin brother. And I love Dan to death. And he's a great guy. And he's married and all this other stuff. But I love living my life. You know, I don't like getting married and all this other stuff. I don't like being tied down. But I hope house prices crash, just completely crash, because I need to buy a house. So you might say, well, how old are you? Well, we know Dan's 57, so you must be 57 because you're his twin brother. Well, yes, I am. Well, Dan has a house. Why haven't you bought a house? Oh, well, here, let me tell you why I didn't buy a house. I'm going to tell you why, okay? Back years ago, Dan got married. And he starts settling down. I was living the life. I'm going to Vegas every weekend doing this and that. I just couldn't be tied down. Okay, so that's what happened. Back, you know, and then you had in the 2000s. We had 2000. Well, it was Y2K. I think the world was going to end then. And I know computers were going to blow up and everything else. So I didn't buy a house because I was way too concerned because Y2K was taking effect. Then what we saw is, holy moly, the housing market took off and I'm thinking, oh, I should buy. And thank God I held off, because then we had that market crash in 2008. Whew, good thing I never bought a house. Okay. So then we returned and we went through. So I'm renting, I hate my house, but I'm doing something really prudent. So now the next thing that comes around, housing gets back on stable. It's going well. And I'm almost ready to pull that trigger. And then all of a sudden COVID hits. I can't buy a house now. COVID's hitting. I might not have a job. I might not have this, but I've had my job for 40 years. So I probably still have my job, but it's just not the right time. So I didn't buy. So now I think now it's probably a good time to buy now. Maybe. Well, only if houses crash. Do you get my gist? There's an excuse for everything. So what I'm trying to explain to you guys is, and I'm sorry that I took that long to do that, and hopefully you guys enjoy it, and somebody doesn't just pick up in the middle of that, they're going to think I'm nuts. But I hope you get it. There's always an excuse why you didn't do something. And now after all this time, you want the market to crash so you can buy a house. You don't concern yourself with everybody who did everything right throughout the years and tried to be prudent, didn't try to pinpoint the exact time to buy a house. There is never a perfect time to do anything. You're never going to hit the bottom when you're buying stocks. You're never going to sell at the top. So when you keep trying to figure this out, you're just, is it another excuse? Not many times people can't buy a home, but in today's market, I hope you get what I'm saying. The analogy here is so many people have an excuse not to do things. And then when they miss out, they're always blaming somebody else and they want it to crash. So now they have an opportunity, but they've probably missed out on those opportunities probably 10 times already. So sorry. Okay, let's get to the questions. That's enough for me chattering. How long do you have to shop for the best APR? For instance, once they do a credit check, how long do you have to shop for the best APR? So let me give you an idea on what you should do with that. Here's your wording on that is shop for the best APR. Okay, perfect. So how do you do that? So let me go through some ways. And if you don't mind, Misty, Put down in below what you've been doing so far to try to figure out who's got the best rate, who are you calling, who are you reaching out to, what information are you telling them, are all these people pulling your credit? Because I have a great service for you if you want it. Let me go over and I'm going to show you how we do things here at the Frio team. So I'm going to pull up a system here that I use, and I'm going to pull up in background and I'll pull it up. And I'm going to show you something that we use on a daily basis with every one of our borrowers. I'm going to show you how we're going to shop. We're going to shop over almost 90 different companies to find out who has the best rate for you. Okay, so I'm trying to log into my system right now. So hold on one second. I got to do a few things on the background here to pull up to get my logins to this system. So it hasn't been here yet. It hasn't arrived yet. So it'll arrive in a second. We have a system that I'm going to plug in your criteria. What it does? Well, first of all, let me explain what I do. My name is Dan Frio. I'm a mortgage advisor. Okay, that's in its simplest terms. I work for a federally chartered bank. And it's the first time in my career, over 34 years of my career, I've been working at a bank. Okay, never did it in my life. Never thought I'd ever work at a bank. But I found Allied First Bank, and it is a savior to me. Here's why, and it should be a savior to you guys as well. Here's what this does for me. Okay, it allows me to be licensed all over the country. So I'm licensed in every state of the country as well as Puerto Rico. Fantastic, so I can help you out. But also what we are is we're one of the country's largest mortgage brokerages, okay? So we're a bank, but I can also use almost 90 different companies' rate sheets, programs, everything that they have, I can use by calling and using me. So what do you have to lose? You could find all your solutions at a one-stop shop. So let me show you how we do this. So I'm going to go into my system and let me grab the passwords and everything else. And I'm going to show you here in one second. Log in, verify code. Let me make sure I can log in. And so here is what we see. Okay. So here's what we see. So for example, and I'm going to use Misty. Let's just put in your criteria. I'm just going to make one up. So let's say, Misty, you're buying a property. It's a $650,000 home. And you're looking to put down, I'm just going to say 20%. You want to go 80% loan to value. That means you're putting down 20%. You have a 740 credit score. You're a first home buyer. Your zip code is 32133. Let's see if that's even, yeah, that's in Florida somewhere. And let's click over here and see what our rates are. Now, this is going to accumulate rates throughout the whole country, lenders everywhere, okay? So all I want to show you here is here's where rates are, okay? And I need to do some adjustments and some other things in here, but it goes through here. Fairway Lending right now, wholesale, because I only use wholesale companies because we are a huge brokerage. So we use their wholesale divisions to get better rates. So you going to me versus you going to Fairway, I'm probably getting you a better rate. Same thing with Rocket Mortgage. We're Rocket Mortgage's number one broker in the whole country. We have preferred rates that I could get you a better rate of going to Rocket Mortgage than you going there directly. So, but let's go through here. We got Fairway Lending, Flagstar Bank, PRMG, Rockets, there they are, Orion, NuFi, Cardinal, Nations Direct. You can see behind all of them, it says wholesale, Next Bank, Cardinal, Freedom Mortgage, and the list goes on and on and on. This is how we help you shop versus you calling these places, going through. So basically by using me and using my team, you're going to have one call, you're going to have one application, and you're going to have one credit pool. And then we're going to run this. We can run this with you on here, and you could pick. We could say, okay, Misty, here's the rates. Here's all the rates out there. Which one you want to go with? Okay, so let me explain it to you. This one, for example, the rate's 7%. You're going to get back $94 in credits. That's what all this means. Over here, Flagstar, you get the 7% rate, but it's going to cost you that amount of money. All right. So basically look at here. Here's the, but this is how much you're going to get back or how much it's going to cost you. Look at all this. So this, right, the exact same criteria. If you didn't do your due diligence or you didn't use me, you didn't find the best rate, you might've went with, let's say, Florida Capital Bank at the same rate, but you would end up paying $4,000 in fees when we could have found you the same rate at no cost, actually a credit back to you. So that's what we do, okay? That's what we do on a daily basis, all day, all night, every day. So that's that in a nutshell. So how do you find, how long does it take to shop? It'll take us as long as it takes you to schedule an appointment down below, us to get you on the phone and get the criteria to put this through the calculator. So down below in the description is a place you can check to schedule a one-on-one consultation. But let me see if I can also, yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. Now, you can go to my website. My website is therateupdate.com and all the information is there as well. So thanks. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry for the long, lengthy description there, but hope you found some value in that. And hopefully a lot of other people found value in that too. It's hard to tell how much my house has depreciated. How would you estimate how much a house is worth? What I usually do, honestly, I go to Zillow. Believe it or not, I use Zillow. I'll scan over, you know, there's Zillow, Trulia, stuff like that. So for example, here's exactly what I do. I'll show you. Go in here and I just put in the address. I've been gone. I'm in a different site right here, but you can just go in here. It's pretty self-explanatory. Just click it, put in your house address and it'll pop up. I do have a website system in my newsletters that also does that for you as well. So if there's a newsletter link down below, I'd subscribe to that because in some of those that you'll get, it'll have home evaluation systems in there as well. But great, great question. I really appreciate it. And I thank you guys for being here today. Next question is, hello, Dan, what's the typical max cash out on a DSCR loan? Typical max cash out. I won't say there's really a typical. We do quite a bit of DSCRs, but in most cases right now, they're actually purchases. So we do have some cash outs, but what a DSCR loan is, for those that don't know out there, it's a debt service coverage ratio. It's a loan that a lot of investors look to get on their investment properties because it's stupid simple. That's the best words I can say. As long as, well, you got the credit scores, and I think the new credit scores are 640 or 680 to qualify, and check out my other videos for that if you would, but DSCR means debt service coverage ratio. So as long as that your rent's coming in exceeds, equal to, or exceeds your payment, your total housing payment, that's principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, and an HOA if you have one. If it covers, you're good. Okay. As long as it exceeds or covers, you're good. If you're not bringing in enough rents to make that more, that payment, we can use tools like a 40-year term and interest only term to help squeeze those numbers together. But that's a DSCR program. And it is mostly used right now for most of our loans that we're putting through. It's done for purchases. So I don't see a lot of cash outs on those right now, but they are there. And you can go up to, I think in most cases, like 75%. So it's a fantastic program. If you want to find out more, schedule consultation, it's right down below. Let's go to the next one. We got Misty. Hey, Misty, thanks for staying with me. My significant and I haven't shopped around the APR. We've gotten one pre-approval, but are not sure how to go about shopping. Just showed you how. Here's all I ask you to do is go to, up on the screen right now. Go to therateupdate.com, and I'm going to make it even simpler for you. Just call in this number. And I got people on staff. I know my son, he just came in with a question 5 minutes ago. He's out there, and we got about 6 or 7 people on standby to answer those questions for you. And they know exactly what to do, and each one will walk you through you the same way as I would. And most of these loans do come through me anyways for a final review or sign-off. So I might even be talking to you soon if you happen to call in. But I would suggest call in, even just schedule an appointment. If you don't have time today, just call in, speak with one of the people, schedule a time with them, or just go through with them how you start this whole process, and they'd love to help you. But basically, the biggest thing to do is if you're on the website right here, you can call us here, right here, or just hit right here, apply now. And we don't do this to be informal, having it all automated. It's just simple because you're going to go in here. It's going to take you about 10 minutes to fill out this application. You fill it out. Then based on the questions that you answer, it's going to tell you what we need from you. So if you work for somebody, it's going to say, well, we need your pay stubs and W-2s. If you're self-employed, it's going to say, hey, we need your 1099s and your corporate returns. So depending on how you answer the questions and put in that information, it's going to ask you for specific information back or to upload into the system so we can help work on that loan for you. For example, if you put in the application, uploaded all your income and everything else, we're going to pull your credit, get right with you, answer any questions, and probably have a pre-approval out to you within minutes after talking to you. So thanks for tuning in there. And then tell me your crystal ball rates will be better tomorrow. No. Let's go over to, you're talking about rates. Let's go over to our economic calendar where we were. I don't really think there's going to be much coming in this week. I don't really know what's caused the move in the MBSs right now. So let's start talking mortgage lingo. So here's where rates are. Let me pull up the other piece of this. Well, here, let me pull up the chart that I always use. Is going to drive you guys crazy because it's a little too in-depth. Look at this. For some reason, the markets are plummeting, and this isn't good. MBS is right here. MBS 6s are down 33. MBS 5s are down 52. So you're probably going to see about an eighth of an increase in rates. So where are rates right now? This might be rates from, rates are up 0.11 from where they started today because they opened the day at 6.5. Now we're at 6.61 on average. So if you want to dissect where mortgage rates have been going, you can go into mortgage rates here. So Mortgage News Daily, this is where I get my rates, and because it's just simple. They give you the average. So what I want to take out of this is the direction, not the rate. Don't pay attention to the rate, just kind of, sort of. So your rate should probably be within a half of this, a half a percent. Why? Because this is a national average of a really good consumer putting down 20%. The best scenario picture can paint is that rate right there. Okay. Most rates are a little bit higher than this. Okay. What you're seeing on the screen though, here is the adjustment for today. So if you ask me, you know how on my videos, I'll say, well, the MBS market is doing this. So we're probably going to see rates up an eighth. Well, that's what I guessed. And I moved over and we saw rates up an eighth that you're seeing right through here. So that's what we're seeing right now. So unfortunately, I don't think there's really no news coming out this week on the economic calendar that should really do anything for rates. Now, that being said, there is some news in regards to what the Federal Reserve is going to do. So we monitor what the Federal Reserve is going to do on a daily basis. And now it is pretty much etched in stone that they are going to increase rates at the next meeting by a quarter. How do we know that? Well, my crystal ball says this. Here's what the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, right here. This is the CME, downtown Chicago, where all the bond trading and futures markets and all that is done. What they're telling us, where the futures money is going, it's saying on May 3rd, 20, when the Federal Reserve comes out with their new numbers, they're going to raise rates up to 5 to 5.25. So what they control, the Federal Reserve actually controls one thing. They control the federal funds rate. Okay, so let's go and see what the federal funds rate is. So right now, the federal funds rate is currently trading between 4.75 and 5. Okay, remember that number. So we go back over to the numbers here. So we're at 4.75 to 5. Here's where we are right now. So it's saying the markets has an 80... Well, huge prediction rate. Is that 86? Almost an 87% chance that the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates from 4.75 to 5 to 5 to 5.25. That means 0.25%. And it is etched in. It pretty much looks at this has been basically between 50 and 60% over the last couple of weeks. And now we're at 86%. And then the next meeting, they're looking to stay constant at that, to stay there. And then from there, it's looking like, well, now it's looking like after July, they might be pivoting. So basically, this is giving me a direction of what the Federal Reserve is going to do. You have the probability at their next meeting. This is where the federal funds rate's going to be. And you can see over time that depletes down through. So at the next, you know, three meetings, there's a likelihood they're going to raise rates a quarter, not a quarter each time, but a quarter. And how I know not a quarter each time, because we're staying in this zone right here. Okay. So hopefully that helps you there. But Misty, if you go to our website, and like I was saying, where is our website? I got so many tabs up right now. You can go to the rateupdate.com. You can see that right up in here. You can give us a call or just apply online. And if anybody's out there and you speak Spanish or read in Spanish, you can also click this and it'll go into Spanish for you. So that is that. But thank you so much for your questions today, folks. And then the last one, maybe last but not least, sorry to add context. We did a new build and Zillow doesn't recognize our home. Oh, geez. This was supposed to be a short-term home, but local news says values are down. I'm worried we may be stuck. The only thing I can say, Catherine, is just check multiple sites. It does take some time for a lot of these systems to update. You might even want to call a local realtor just to get their opinion, on what they say. I don't know where you live, but if you're welcome to email me as well, and I can help you try to figure this part out. But if you want to email me, my email address is, let me see if I can put that up on the screen. I think Kyle got rid of that for me. Oh, he got rid of that for me. But my email address is really simple. It's dan@therateupdate.com. So that is my event for today. So I'm glad you guys participated. We didn't have a huge audience today, but that's okay. We want to teach those as they come in, because my tagline is going to be, the schools are failing us, and I'm here to help your kids and help you be financially prudent. So we're going to start calling this Finance or Economics 101, so you guys can learn about the stocks, cryptos, bonds, real estate, all these investment tools. Because remember, when we went back to chat, this is just the chat AI stuff that we went through. Again, this is how I use it. And I use this on a daily basis. It helps me create my thumbnail titles, all kind of stuff. What is a good investment against rising inflation? And here's this. Guys, I didn't create this. It goes down through real estate. What's this channel we do at 3 o'clock where I'm here to answer questions for you on real estate, bonds, stocks, and cryptocurrencies, which is as part of gold and silver and all the other stuff. Kinda. So that's it for today, guys. I greatly appreciate you guys being here. Don't forget to check my daily videos each morning to give you the economic news for the day that morning. And then we visit back at 3 o'clock in the evenings after the markets close to answer any questions that you guys might have. So that's it for today, guys. Thank you so much for watching. God bless.